the CougarFan.com Rise and Shot Podcast, episode 370, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. This summer, we're going to do a series of podcasts on the six best BYU sports teams ever. Matt and I debate the nominees in this week's show, whittling it down to seven or eight. You can help us decide. Also on the show, sports movies we missed, and whether Sandlot is actually a sports movie. You can get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. You can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, and you can listen to us right now.
Right now? Like we're going to go right now?
Well, I already hit record, so that's on the show, bud. Way to open it. It's the best open of all time. Yeah, we're going to go right now. You got something else you need to talk about, buddy?
No, I'm ready. I was obviously ready.
And we've got a ton of stuff, so we're just going to head right into it, man. We're not going to dilly-dally around with NBA playoffs or any of that garbage.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to talk about baseball, so let's just go.
All right. So sports movies, we talked about this last time thanks to a question from Gary Payne. And let's just say a lot of people did not think we did a great job on our movie discussion.
I don't know if they think we did a poor job as much as they just disagree with almost everything we said.
That's right. All right. So Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
At Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. And you can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. He says, regarding sports movies, Miracle is probably my number one, which was an honorable mention for us from last week.
Yep.
Best scene, though, is the again.
Yes.
Again. This is a great scene. That gets me every time. Rudy is number two for him. Did we mention Rudy? Yes, because you said Rudy was offside.
Because I mentioned he was offside.
Yeah.
I mentioned it. I mean, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
I'm not the one who said it. I mean,
remember the Titans was his number three, and also a very underrated baseball movie, For the Love of the Game. For the Love of the Game is a romantic movie. It's a romance that has baseball in it.
You know what? But you know what movie that nobody has mentioned? Bull Durham.
We mentioned it.
Didn't we mention Bull? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't think we did. I mentioned. I had it on my list. I think you're right because I just re-listened to that segment and I don't think we did. I have seen For the Love of the Game and I actually enjoy it quite a bit. I don't think it would be on my top list though. Or even my honorable mentions. I mean, it's baseball. It's Kevin Costner, right? But Kevin Costner playing like Nolan Ryan, basically. Then some people thought we didn't love on football enough. John Brame, that's at Johnny Dangerman on Twitter, said, great show. Thoughts on Remember the Titans, which was left completely off your draft and honorable mentions.
Yeah, that was. I feel like that was a miss.
Matt, justify your not mentioning Remember the Titans.
I blew it. It's a good movie. That should have been on the list. That should have been in the draft or at least an honorable mention.
So Chris Murphy at C Murphy Pro on Twitter said, just listen to tonight's podcast. How can you not mention Remember the Titans or Brian's Song? At least you had Hoosiers on your list. It should be number one. Hoosiers is a terrific movie. Matt, Remember the Titans we just talked about. I kind of feel like we missed on Remember. That should have been honorable mention. Do you have feelings about Brian's Song? Oh my gosh. How can you hate Brian's Song?
I saw that movie when I was like 6 years old. I'm not even sure what the story is.
Spoiler warning, he dies.
Oh wow! I really blew it there, didn't I?
Yeah. It's Brian's Song. There are two versions, right? There's the old classic version, and there was a more recent. Was it a TV movie version?
There was a remake of that. I saw the old version when I was very young, and I barely remember it.
Yeah, and clearly you slept through it. The 1971, which has James Caan and Billy Dee Williams.
I don't need to watch it now, though, since you've kind of summed up the end there for us.
It's a real-life story, man.
Wow, this is really bad. I kind of want to go back.
But there was a 2001. Yeah, you'd like to edit that? Yeah, 0% chance of that, buddy. Mickey Pfeiffer and Sean Mayer play the lead roles in the ABC made for TV, it looks like, in 2001. I've seen both of them. I prefer the original. You know, Billy Dee Williams at the height of his Billy Dee Williamsness as Gale Sayers. It's a classic. You should watch it now that you're an adult and can enjoy adult things.
I feel like that's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
Anyway, we also got hammered on our discussion of Sandlot, but we're going to table that, Matt. We're going to come back to Sandlot as part of today's game. Will be an instant replay review where we get called to task by Andre Hutchins on our treatment of that movie in last week's podcast. And you and I are going to give a verdict as to whether Andre was correct in his assessment. So we will be back in a few minutes to discuss that.
All right.
Matt, let's go from the sports movies to the CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, congratulations to the BYU baseball team. They won the WCC regular season crown. I'd say this could be one of the best BYU baseball teams, well, certainly of the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah, that's not even an argument.
No, it is. It really isn't an argument. And they open up the WCC tournament on the 23rd. So we're recording this on Monday the 20th, so in a few days. So good luck to them. Matt, Zach Wilson was at the Nashville BYU Fan Fest, and he was interviewed by BYU Sports Nation. And he says he's a month away from being 100%. Matt, what the freak does that mean?
I don't know what any of that means. Like, they're just making up numbers.
I mean, how can you be
a video game?
I think I'm a month away from being 100%. So what percent is he, 91?
Or 70?
I don't know.
He's going to gain a percent point a day. I don't know what that means.
Listen, you're on record as saying you're worried about his health until fall camp comes and he proves that he's 100% healthy.
Correct.
Do you feel any differently after seeing his comments at the Nashville Fan Fest?
No, it's all smoke. I mean, nobody wants to really talk about their health.
Now, Zane Anderson in that same Fan Fest talked about him being healthy. I feel different because it sounds like he is 100% healthy.
And he's also not the starting quarterback.
Also true, but it'd be good to have him back in a linebacker core that we are worried might be a little thin this year, right?
Concerned? There's some concern there.
There's some concern. And Mark Pope was also there for FanFest. And do you think there's any chance that his energy level ever comes down?
No, I think that's part of what we love about him.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming down. All right, Matt. Another headline was from KSL Unrivaled. I don't even know what that is, but saying that the Utah State game should be considered BYU's most important football game of the year. That's according to the author of this opinion piece. I don't know who the author was. Oh, it's the radio thing. I listened to that. It should be their most important thing. Matt, is BYU's most important game this year Utah State?
Let's see. Is Scott Mitchell a Utah State alum?
He is not a Utah State alum. No, I believe he played for the University of Utah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying. Well, sometimes I have a hard time keeping them apart, but I, okay. So
are you trolling Scott Mitchell? You're trolling Scott Mitchell.
Yeah. What do I care? Like, Scott Mitchell's never going to hear this. And what does Scott Mitchell care about my opinion?
No, he doesn't.
He cares less about my opinion than I do about his. but seriously though, like that's clickbait. I mean, that's just trying to get people to listen to your show.
Yeah, I mean it's dumb.
Like,
it's
that, not nobody actually thinks that.
No, it's not the most important game.
Come on, stop it.
It can't be. I mean, it's an important game on the schedule, right?
Of course it is. Of course it is. And that will always be true. Any year we play Utah State, that will be true.
And especially in years in which they are good, right? Which I think is likely to be this year again. You know, we'll see. Wells leaves, they get their old coach back. I don't know how that's all going to work out, but
I'm not sure this is the second most important game on the schedule.
I'm not sure it's the fourth.
right? So that's a bad take.
Yeah, it's a bad take. Pope, speaking of Pope, he at that fan fest and in subsequent interviews, he got on a plane and went to Africa for like 27 hours of travel to have like a 90-minute conversation with a prospect's parents.
That seems like a good idea.
He's putting together the roster. There's about 12-ish on the roster of 13. Matt, is that 13th spot for Yoli Childs, huh?
I'd hold it.
Bringing back Yoli. I don't think the roster's even close to set. I bet you we get two or three more significant changes, even barring Yoli Childs coming back before they start practice in the fall.
Is Yoli going to come back?
Not likely, but
is Yoli Childs walking through that door?
He probably should. I mean, do you look at what's happening with Mika and those guys, and I don't know exactly what money they're making, and say, wow, what an awesome decision they made. Really? Do you look at their European basketball careers and go, wow, that's glad they gave up their last couple of years of school for that. Do you? I don't. I just don't. Yeah. I would stay in school. I would just stay in school, do the experience. The European League isn't going anywhere. Yeah, you could get hurt and whatever else, but you can also get a college degree and go make probably what you're making in the European League, work in a job where, you don't have to live in a, rat-fested apartment in some other country, right? I'm just saying.
Rat-infested.
I'm just saying. I've met a few people that played European ball. It's not that glamorous, guys, according to those folks. And you can read, what's that guy, Shirley, Nate, who played in the pros? You can,
yes, I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
No, you can have my jersey. I read that book. I think I have a copy of it here on my... I can't find it. I'll think of it here in a second, but it's not that glorious. All right, Matt, in case folks haven't heard, you can support this podcast on Patreon.
Paul Shirley?
Paul Shirley, yes. You can borrow my jersey. Right? Is that the name of the book?
Can I keep my jersey?
Oh, gosh, I'm terrible. Can I keep my jersey? That's the name of the book. It's a really good book. It's, his journey all over, foreign leagues and the NBA and back and again. And it's a cool book. But you can support our podcast at patreon.com/riseandshout. And we haven't announced anything yet, but we will for next. As the season comes close, we're going to have some rewards for folks that are involved in that. So go check that out. We don't charge for the podcast. Certainly don't require anybody to go support us, but we appreciate the support of our patrons over there. Matt, we used to call this main segment for a couple of weeks the deep dive, but we're going to change that because it sounds like a terrible cliched business term. So this week, we're going to call the main segment Popcorn Popping.
I'm standing up and sitting down. I'm standing up. I'm sitting down.
Okay, so have I told you what I've done when I did when I was the primary music leader with Popcorn Pop?
Oh, this is great. This is great.
Okay, so I did a game where we would, for that song, and this is in the big primary, right, with the older kids, I would raise one hand and the girls had to stand up. And when I lowered it, they had to sit down. The other hand, boys stand up, boys sit down. And they had to watch that hand. And of course, I'd try to trick them, right, with the rhythm or whatever else. It was all inspired because of the band playing that song during blowouts and things and people popping up like that. But it was a cool primary game. The kids loved it. I subbed like 2 weeks ago and the kids asked for it by name, so... I'm just saying, for all you primary music leaders out there that listen to the podcast. So, Matt, we're going to talk about this summer. What is your reaction to that, by the way? You should be saying, that's a great idea, Adam. Wow, so creative.
It was a great idea. Great idea. I subbed as the primary music leader on Mother's Day, and I tried to come up with a good game for that song, and I failed.
Oh, well, next time you do it, you can borrow my game that you didn't even say how awesome it was.
I should have come and asked you for more advice because sounds like that game would have really killed.
Yeah, yeah. I did that column for 4 years. It's my favorite calling of all time. I'd go back to it again in a heartbeat. So
I broke a sweat in just doing it the one time.
It's a blast. It's so much fun. I love that calling. It was really cool. So anyway, we're going to talk this summer about the greatest BYU sports teams ever. Now, we're not going to rank them per se, but we're going to pick six teams to focus on, and we're then going to do podcasts that focus on each of those six teams.
Excellent.
Any sport, but let's be fair, you and I don't know nor care a lot about things outside of football and basketball.
Correct. Fact.
So that's a fact. So some of you are going to be sitting here and going, what about the 1987 women's gymnastics team? Which, by the way, I made up that year. I have no idea if they were good. And we are not qualified to probably have an opinion on that. But you can feel free, as we go through this, to absolutely hammer us for any of our ideas. Okay? That's totally fine. So I asked for nominations, Matt. So I'm going to, as we go through this, we're going to go through football here in a second and do it chronologically, and basketball chronologically, and then a couple of other sports teams that got nominated. But we're going to go through this, and I'm going to say who nominated them, us or somebody on the Twitter land. All right?
In the Twitter sphere.
In the Twitter sphere.
That's a place. That's a physical location.
Physical location. All right. The first person to nominate someone was Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
He says, where does my 2006 intramural hoops team fall on this list?
Pass.
Pass. All right. How we're going to do this is you can say yes, you can say maybe, or you can say pass. Okay? And we're
you passing. Will not be. You are not moving on to the next round, Sweeney, and the fighting pre-law students or whatever your name of your intramural hoops team was.
Maybe he was a law school student then. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know when he was in law school. 2006? I can't remember. We looked this up once.
Yeah, we did, but it doesn't matter.
I've already forgotten.
All right. Devin Schroth on Twitter, that's at Asian Schroth. He says, current landscaping team is killing it.
Fact.
A fact, but I'm still going to pass.
What's that girl's name? She's a senior. She's taken the national championship in all 4 years. That's the kind of domination. That kind of domination you do not have anywhere else on campus.
Wait a second. Is this really a thing?
That is an actual thing. This is her fourth year. She's won the national championship every year at BYU. She's killing it.
You're making this up.
No, this is the thing. You put it in your. I hear you tap-a-roo into your Google machine. Go ahead, feed it in there.
Oh my gosh, this is the thing.
Yeah.
BYU's landscaping program is dominating nationally.
Yes, they're unbelievable. Huh. BYU senior wins fourth landscaping championship. Landscaping. I'm having a hard time with vowels.
Landscaping.
Yes, yes. There's definitely one.
Six national titles since 2003.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm still
here's a
passing.
Picture right now. Alyssa Brown. She's won four landscape management national championships at BYU. She's dominant.
I'm still going to pass.
She's the GOAT. She is the GOAT.
I thought Devin was making some type of joke. It wasn't a joke. It was legit. No.
You've been on campus. Listen, the campus is immaculate. Let's just call it what it is.
The campus is beautiful.
I've been on college campuses all over the country, and this is a beautiful campus.
It's the most well-kept up campus that I've ever been on. And I haven't been on, I don't think as many as you have, but I've been on quite a few. And if you go up north to the University of Utah, it's not even close. I remember the first time I was there, I was like, do they even have people landscape here? Man, I'm just saying. All right, so we're going to take a pass, or are you going to keep the landscaping team in this? Landscaping. Now you've made me do it.
The landscaping. Landscaping. That's how they pronounce it in Norway.
No, it isn't. It's not pronounced that way anywhere.
In Sweden. Pass.
All right, we're going to pass.
But way to go, Alyssa Brown.
All right, way to go, Alyssa Brown. Way to go, Devin, with an actual, unlike Sweeney. Though maybe Sweeney thinks his 2006 intramural team should be on there.
No, it's an actual submission, and we passed.
And we passed.
And both of these didn't make it to the next round for the same reason. There's no way I could fill a whole show talking about either of these things.
We just talked about it as much as we could. All right. So let's go on to football. Here are the teams that were nominated, okay? Blue Cougar Football on Twitter nominated 1932. So the 1932 BYU football, some reasons why they were nominated, according to him in a blog post he did several years ago, and also just looking at the stats, they were 8-1. It was the first team to win that many games, and would be no team would win that many games again in BYU football until 1976. Only lost one game, unfortunately, it was to Utah, so that doesn't help their case there. Matt, yes, no, or yes, maybe, or pass on the 1932 football team.
I struggle. Pass. We talked about this before the show. I'm kind of a maybe, but like, was it even football in 1932?
He
makes some strong points, though, right? I mean, you sandwich this season up, you go from 1922 to 1939. Okay, you have three winning seasons in there, and this is one of them.
Well, here's the thing: it's not that it wasn't a good season. It was a very good season. It was until the 60s, by far the best season BYU had ever had. So it deserves historical mention, which I think is part of what, part of what he was talking about, right, about the 1932 team. But it's not one of the best teams in BYU sports history, right? I don't know if it makes the top 10 seasons in football alone. I think it'd be hard-pressed to make the case that it makes the top five. For sure.
So they're probably the best BYU football team from 1922 to 1950.
Yeah, I probably.
Right, but does that make them an all-time great BYU sports team?
No.
But I think not, because the football team was abysmal every other year.
Right, worth mentioning today in our program. All right. Yep. So Next. You nominated, Matt, 1965. So, Matt, tell us why you nominated the 1965 football team.
All right, so the 1965 football team, you'll notice that they are outside of the scope of everything I just said a second ago.
Yes.
Well, a couple things. One thing the 1965 team did that the 1932 team did not was beat the University of Utah.
Okay.
I'll just throw that one out there.
Wow.
But this is a 1965 team that was 6-4, won their conference. Okay, so this is, I feel like this is a period of time where this is where the tide starts to turn for BYU. You've got Virgil Carter in there on this team, who goes on to play in the NFL. He's drafted, goes on, has a good NFL career. I feel like this is a team where things started to turn around. This is like a bellwether season for the football program, in my opinion. It's Hudspeth's second year. He takes this team that's been a doormat, and he starts winning with them. And 1965 was the first year he did that.
So,
he starts losing.
You were a year too early. I think Hudspeth's best team is 66. Right, 8-2. They didn't have a great record in the WAC because the WAC was a good conference. Sports Reference has them as the 14th best team in the country, actually, in 1966. Though I don't know how accurate those advanced stats are back that far. But I think you might be a bit early on there. So let's throw both.
And that's probably a better season for Carter anyway. This is 66 season.
Yeah. So let's say
I just feel like the 65 season is the first conference championship. That I think there was meaning there for me.
Okay. So if we were saying the most important seasons in BYU sports history, I would take a yes. But for 1965 and 1966, I am going to pass.
Matt? All right. I'll pass.
You don't have to do what I'm doing. You can be your own man.
Take him to the next round, especially if you bundle him. We're taking him to the next
round. We're not bundling. No. Uh-oh. I didn't say this at the beginning. The seasons have to stand on their own. There's no early 80s football team.
We're taking 1966 to round two.
Okay. Matt is taking 1966 to round two. Okay. All right. Cool. 1979 is the next team. I nominated 1979, and we have nominated... not that we're going to take them together, but also the 80 team as well. 79, of course, was kind of the culmination of what you're talking about. It's Lavelle Edwards' third year. They were 11-1 that year. Had a really good team. Some people think they were a top five team that year in the country. Didn't get a chance to really prove that on a national stage the same way you would like, but they did beat a ranked Texas A&M team to open up the season, and then you know, the one loss was in the Holiday Bowl against Indiana. So I, a 1979 team, Matt, are you taking yes, maybe, or pass on them?
I'm a maybe on 79.
All right. I am a maybe on 79 as well. So let's just say yes then. There's just yes or pass.
All right.
We're just going to the next round. All right. 1980. All right. 80 is a fascinating season, right?
Yeah. I mean,
everybody knows about the bowl game, right? So there's the Miracle Bowl is how it ended. It is the opposite to the 1979 season. 1979, they win this awesome game against Texas A&M to start. In 1980, the big blemish against them is losing the opening game to a terrible New Mexico team. And then they basically destroyed almost everybody else until they got to that crazy game against SMU. They would finish the season ranked 12th in the country. Matt, yes or no to moving the 1980 football team to the next round?
That's a definite yes for me.
Yeah, that's a definite yes. All right.
You're through to Vegas, 1980 football team.
That's right. We're going to 1983. 11-1 record, finished the season ranked 7th in the country, obviously set up the 1984 championship team. Again, similar theme, lost, though, to a better team, I guess, at Baylor to open the season, and then, of course, would go through the rest of the year without losing another game. Though, to be fair, they did not play a ranked team any time during that 1983 season. Yes or no, moving the 1983 team on?
Take them through.
All right. 1984, similar theme. Matt, I look at that team. They won the national championship. It's hard to argue with its importance. They beat Pitt to open up. They were undefeated, did not have a particularly hard schedule. Pitt didn't end up being that good, and they beat a mediocre Michigan team in the end. Matt, I'm going to say no to taking this team.
Serious?
I don't think they're as good as any of the teams we just talked about.
You can't take the national championship team to the next round?
Oh, fine. We'll take them to the next
round. Is this for real?
All right. We're taking them to the next round. Fine.
Won a national championship.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what else do you want them to do?
I don't know.
Jeez.
Play some tougher teams. Let's do 1985. It was nominated by our brother Don.
Hey, Don.
They beat Boston College to open up the year, then lost to UCLA, and then would end up losing to Ohio State. They would beat Air Force when they were ranked 16. Air Force was ranked number 4. I think one of the coolest wins in BYU history that doesn't get a lot of attention because it wasn't, you know, a Power 5 type of school, but a really cool win. Matt. Are you liking Don suggesting and carrying 1985 into the next round?
This is a really good team, but they lost, you know, two of those three ranked games. When I stack them up against the other teams on this list, I don't push them through the next round. It's a no
either.
For me.
So they're a no. It's a no for you. You sounded like Randy there. Come on,
sorry,
dog.
Sorry, dog.
All right. Now we jump.
Pitchy. It was a little pitchy.
A little pitchy. We jump 11 years into the future, Matt. To your nominated 1996 team. So tell me, Matt, why should the 1996 team be on this list? What makes them so great?
Well, two things. Let me also notice that it was nominated by multiple people.
That's
I nominated
true.
It. Shane McDougald, who's at McDougald Shane, also nominated it.
That's true.
And the other reason is it's the best BYU football team of all time. So, they belong on the list. Lots of people nominated this 1996
That's
team.
That's true.
Listen, this is a 1996 team that finished ranked number 5.
Yes.
Okay, it was 14-1.
14-1.
Beat Texas A&M to open the season. You know, beat a good Wyoming team, beat a good Kansas State team, put together a crazy run. You know, without that loss at Washington, who knows what would have happened, right?
The next team that was nominated was the 2006 football team. Andre Hutchins, that's at AC_Hutchins, says the 2006 John Beck led football team is the best BYU football team since the 1996 Cotton Bowl team. Those two losses against Arizona and BC still haunt me today. Matt, does the 2006 team fall into that 1985 category for you, or do you give them a higher level than that?
I don't know. I they kind of fall into that 1985 category for me. But and I'm also looking at the list. We're letting everybody through. We're like, what is this? What are we, Matadors? I mean, basically, the only team that hasn't made the cut in the modern era of football is Don's nomination.
That's right, because you apparently don't like Don.
So I don't even know what to do with that. But if I look at 2006, I mean, that was a pretty good team. I mean, they were top 15, 8-0 in the conference. 2006, isn't that the that's the Beck to Harleen year?
Yes.
That was a fun season to watch. It's tough for me to say no to this team.
So are you saying no or not?
I'm saying yes.
We're letting everybody through. We're pushovers. Yes,
basically,
to me as well.
Basically, round two is going to look a lot like round one.
So 2009 was nominated by Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
He says he wants to get on the podcast and argue why the 2009 football team is better than the 2006 football season, and the 2009 team should therefore always be ranked ahead of the 2006 team. Matt, what's your take on his take?
That TCU loss in the 2009 team, like, still kind of haunts me to this day. But Sweeney's not wrong about 2009
TCU, team and 2006. TCU was
amazing. TCU was a very, very good team. But you see, this team wins that game, right? I mean, they got destroyed, right? But if this team had beat TCU there, now that's a ridiculously special season. Right, you got
2009
wins against top 20 teams. I mean, you already had 3 wins against top 20 teams in this season. How does this not make the list? And it might be better in 2006. Maybe it is.
I'm gonna make a strange statement. According to the statistics, okay, of the of SportsReference.com, their what do they call it? Their simple rating system, okay. The 2006 team is substantially better than the 2009 team. I don't understand. 2009 had a harder schedule, started the season ranked, finished the season ranked, also just lost 2 games. I don't know. I look at that 2009 team, and I don't understand why it would be substantially less, right? That loss to Florida State is a unfortunate blemish, right? Because Florida State wasn't, people are like, oh, it's Florida State. They weren't a very good team.
They were not good. They were not good.
That's a terrible loss. And they gave up 54 points in that game. Yikes. But I'm going to say it's got to go through if 2006 did. All right.
Yeah. Well, and everybody else is going through.
We're terrible at this. We're awful. Right. So let's go to basketball. The first team that was nominated was 1965-66, nominated by me. Matt, this is a team that went, pulling up the stats here, 20-5, did not make the NCAA tournament back in the day when very few teams did, but they were second in the WAC to a very good Utah team led by Dick Nemelka and a few other folks on this team. Matt, yes or no to the 1965-66 basketball team?
You know, I hear what you're saying about the 20 wins, but I'm saying no.
All right. What about, I didn't do this, but what about some of the 50s teams?
Well, you got 56-57.
56-57. They won 19 games and lost in a regional semifinal. That was a team that was led by Tom Steinke and John Benson. That's a pretty good team.
49-50, 50-51. I mean, that's a good stretch.
Yep. They had some really good stretches there, ranked as high as 11th in 50-51. That was, of course, led by Ronald Minson and Mel Hutchins. That was a good team. Do you want to keep any of these early basketball teams?
No.
Okay, no. You hate basketball. All right, I got it. Let's fast forward here to 1981. Matt, I nominated this team as well, 25-7, led by Danny Ainge, Fred Roberts, Greg Kite, who Don thinks is like the best guy ever because he played in the NBA for a long time. I just want to remember his, outside of rebounding at BYU, his stats weren't that great. So anyway, that's just a dig at Don.
What, rebounding is not important all of a
Rebound's
sudden?
Rebound's important, but he was not superior to Fred Roberts. Fred Roberts had the same rebounding, higher assists, and more points. Fred Roberts was the better player at BYU. End of story. I don't care how long Greg Kite played in the NBA. And Fred Roberts was a better NBA player. Anyway, we're off topic. Matt, keeping the 1980-81 basketball team.
Yeah, you keep this team. I mean, this is an Elite Eight team. Yeah, you have to keep this team.
All right. Blue Cougar football. I'm nominated again this time. The 87-88 26-win WAC champion loss in the second round. Cougars. This was, of course, Michael Smith and Jeff Chapman at their peak of ability. I loved this team as a kid. Matt, are you a yes or a no on keeping the 87-88 basketball team?
I'm a maybe.
So a yes. All right.
Okay.
Me too.
Getting through.
They're getting
through.
We're Swiss cheese tonight, everybody. Swiss cheese. Everybody is getting through. The next nominee.
At this point, we should go back and reconsider Sweeney's intramural team.
Yeah, that's true. Did we give that a good enough look?
I think we need more information.
All right. So there's the 91-92 team, 25 wins, led by Gary Trost and Kevin Nixon. I'm not going to keep this team. They're a good team, but I'm not going to keep them. Matt?
No, I'm not going to keep them.
And I'm not going to keep any of those 90s teams that were around them, so we'll move
on. No, the 89-90 team was better in the framework of, like, in the context of the rest of the country than the 91-92 team was. And, they're both bounced in the first round. And I understand that the 91-92 team was seeded higher, but I think that 89-90 team was just better.
Well, it had Marty Hawes, Andy Toulson, Kevin Santiago. Good squad in 89-90. I am also not going to keep them, though. I'm not going to keep them, unless you're throwing them on the board.
No, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so now we go to 2002, 2003. That was the next nominee. Who nominated that one? Just me, maybe. They won 21 games, 11-3 in the Mountain West Conference, led by Hansen and Bigelow. Rafael Arujo was also on that team. Matt, I'm taking a pass on them, though. I think they were a very good team.
They were a good team, and they were a ton of fun to watch, but I have to pass.
We're such football homers. We kept so many football teams. But to be fair, the football program has been way better than the basketball program over our lifetime. I mean, that's just indisputably true. The next basketball teams are the two Jimmer teams. Okay. So 2009 is the first one in order, 30-6, of course, led by Jimmer, Jackson Emery, Tyler Halls, Tavernary, Noah Hartsock. Brandon Davies was a kind of a freshman bit player on that team. Matt, does this team stay on the list?
Yes.
Okay, this team stays on the list. So then we fast forward one season, okay, to the next year, 32-5, seeded where in the tournament?
This is 2000. Were they a three seed?
10, 11. Yeah, they were
a
three
seed. They were a three seed.
Obviously, Jimmer at the height of all Jimmerness as a senior. Jackson Emery, also a senior, I just think is one of the best players BYU ever had. You know, his defense didn't show up there. And then Brandon Davies and Noah Hartsock playing bigger roles than they did. And then a freshman by the name of Kyle Collinsworth averaging 5-5 for them as well. Awesome, crazy team. Of course, they stay on here.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't argue that this team doesn't belong in the conversation of greatest men's basketball team at BYU ever.
Yes.
They belong on this list.
All right. So, we had two teams nominated that aren't football or basketball, okay? One was nominated by JMG Cougarman at JMG Cougman.
Just Cougman.
Apparently,
JMG Cougarman was taken.
That's right. This is the 1990 men's volleyball team national championship. Matt, I am definitely keeping this team on the list.
Yes, this team goes.
All right. And then nominated by Blue Cougar football again, the 1983 baseball team that included Wally Joyner, and Corey Snyder, who would both go on to play in the bigs. They were, let's see, 54-11, the most wins in school history, and were ranked number one at one point. And but they, I can't remember what they did in the tournament. Oh my gosh, yeah, this was in the article I read. They were the number one seed, but weren't able to host any tournament games because there was no lighting at the old baseball field. They were upset in the first round by Arizona State and Barry Bonds. Kind of a crazy story. So Matt, are you keeping the 1983 baseball team?
Yeah, I think you have to.
I think you have to. They're good. All right. So our second round includes these following football teams because we are football homers and can't make a decision. 66, excellent. 79, 80, 83, 84, 96, 2006, and 2009. We're such homers.
So it's basically the entire list. Okay, yeah, that's cool. Okay.
And basketball is 80, 81, 87, 88, 2009, 2010, and 2010, 2011. And then we have the 1999 men's volleyball team and the 1983 baseball team. And we've got to get this list to six. We're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, just in football, 10,
you're 12
in basketball, and 14. So we only have to eliminate 8 teams. All right, Matt, great. You go first. Knock a team off the list. Knock a team off this list.
I am eliminating. I'm going to eliminate the 1966 football team.
All right, 1966 football team is off. I'm going to do something crazy, Matt. I'm going to knock off the 2006 football team.
Whoa. How are we supposed to have the 2006 versus 2009 debate? All right.
We're about to. Because I just knocked off 2006. I'm backing up Sweeney. I can't even believe it, Hutchins.
This is insanity. This is the first time I've backed Hutchins.
Now I'm going to be part of what's happening anymore. Tofu beef. I don't even know what's going on. All right. I'm taking out the 2006 team. I mean, they lost some terrible games. I don't know. What's worse, losing to that terrible Florida State team or losing to
the Florida State team is pretty bad.
All right. Never mind. I'm taking out 2009 instead.
Oh, see, I don't like that either.
Yeah, we got to start whittling this down. We're still
either
at 11.
Wait, we're going to have the argument. So just take one of them.
All right.
Take 2006. I'm taking 2006.
You're taking both of them off?
No. I'm keeping 2006 goes on. 2009 comes off the list.
Okay, that's what we're going to do. All right. Basketball. Is there any teams you think of the four that we still have left that are easy pickings to take off?
Easy pickings? I feel like that's a little heavy, but I'm going to go ahead with 87, 88.
All right, you're going to take them off. I agree with that one. Okay, so we now have 1, 2, 3 basketball teams. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 football teams left. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 football teams, yeah. 3 basketball teams. We're at 9 and then 11. Do you want to take out volleyball or baseball?
I'm hard-pressed to move that volleyball team.
I'm going to take out baseball. They lost in the first round. It's a weird circumstance, I get it, but I think I'm going to take out the baseball team. 54
right,
wins. That's pretty impressive. Number one seed. But I think this team gets a lot of credit for the fact that Joyner became like a rookie of the year. But the team shouldn't get any credit for that, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we're going to take out that team. All right. All right, Matt. So who are you, what hill are you dying on? What team can't come off this list?
Okay, we all know where I'm going with this. It's the 1996 football team.
All right.
I'm drawing a line. They have to stay on the list.
That's your hill. I am dying on the 2000. Let's just stick with football. I'm going to die on the hill of the 1979 football team.
Okay. Fair.
In basketball, I'm going to die on the hill of the 2010-11. I mean, isn't that like a given?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do something. So that leaves, I'm going to knock out the team before that. The 2009-2010. I think we'll just pick one of those.
Okay. If we just have to take one, 2010 is the team to take.
All right. And that leaves us with two basketball teams, 80-81 and 2010-11. And all due respect to all those awesome teams from the 50s that we are not going to talk about, that our dad and probably others are saying are better than that some of these teams. And that may be true, right? But this is our list. Okay, so we now need to get, if we're going to keep, we're keeping the 99 men's volleyball team. I'll die on that hill too.
Yeah, I think we keep the 99 men's volleyball. So what are we at? Who have we decided we're keeping? One, two. So we can keep what? One more team? Two more teams? What did we say? We're doing five or six?
We're going to do six. So we've got, for football right now, we've got 79 and 1996. Okay. In basketball, we've got 81 and 2010. Let's call it 2011. And then 99. So we got one more football team, basically, that we're going to keep.
Are we really not going to take the 1984 team on this list?
I don't know. It's hard not to. The problem with the 84 team, quite frankly, is they didn't play anybody. I mean, that's the argument people make about, and that's not entirely true because the WAC was not terrible that year, but that's the argument, right, that people make about they shouldn't have been national champs. I disagree that the national champ piece, but they're not national champs if 1983 isn't as good as it is, right? Because they don't start ranked high enough.
Well, yeah. So
I'm just saying, standing on their own merits, is that a better team than the 1980 or the 1983 team? I think you have to say it's better than 2006.
Yeah, but are they better than 80 or 83? I mean, that 80 team was unreal.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I mean, looking at their schedule, I mean, you're not knocking my socks off. With the 80 schedule, I mean, you got the big win at the end of the season.
According to Sports Reference, the best team in BYU sports, in BYU football history, according to their ranking, is 80. But that and 79 are like statistically probably the same. The next team is 83. And the next team is 2006. According to the advanced stats, 84 is our fifth best team, though you're splitting hairs between them in 2006.
This is hogwash. Where's 1996 on this list?
Sixth.
Yeah, this list is garbage.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, I'm just using something, right? 1996 has marquee wins, right? Kansas State, obviously, has a marquee win, right? And we're not debating them. Beating Texas A&M, though they ended up being not that great. Wyoming in the WAC championship game.
Wyoming that was a good Wyoming team. That was a ranked really Wyoming good team.
And there were a couple other good WAC teams that year. So 96, I think, you know, the stats might be wrong on that one. But I just struggle personally when I've ranked the seasons in the past. I have put 83 over 84, but I think you're kind of splitting hairs. Which, I guess in the end, which one do you want to talk about? I mean, because this really is about, we're going to have shows about them. Is that the wrong criteria?
At this point, I don't know how else to do it. So I think I want to talk about the 84 team.
I think I also want to talk about the 84 team because it's the national championship year.
Yeah.
All right. So our six greatest teams in BYU sports history are, in no particular order, the 1979 football team, the 1984 football team, the 1996 football team, the 1981 basketball team, the 2011 basketball team, and the 1999 men's volleyball team to represent all of the sports we're clearly forgetting and don't know very well. Matt, how do you feel about that list?
The 06 and 09,
I'm struggling with that too. Not having one of those teams on the list, but what do you get rid of? I mean, are any of them better than the 79 team? Neither of them are better than the 79.
I probably can't get rid of a football season for one of those two teams. Could I get rid of a volleyball season?
How dare you?
I don't know. It's blasphemous. I know. Because I love that 99 men's volleyball team as much as you do.
I know you do.
How about this?
We will not make the decision right now. Let's do this. Which of the two teams, 06 or 09, are you keeping? 06, right?
Yeah, I think we said 06. Mostly just to get after Sweeney.
No, I don't think it was mostly that. Let's save this for next week, okay? We want to hear from you guys. Where did we mess up? What teams should be on this list of six? Today, it does not include the 2016, but Matt's debating whether we should bump the 1999 men's volleyball team. But let's shelve this and come back, okay? Because we've got not a lot of time, and we've got to talk about a couple of things, all right? So, Matt, were you ready to shelve this, or are you still too fired up to let it go?
No, let's shelve it. Let's shelve it. Let's see what the people. Let's let the people speak, and then we'll finalize the list. That's fair. Right.
So, this week's game is called Instant Replay Review, where basically somebody calls us out for something we did wrong or what they think we did wrong, and then you and I review it and arbitrarily decide whether this person is right or not.
So it's much like the NFL Replay Review.
Yeah.
It's completely arbitrary.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Excellent. All right. Excellent.
Last week, I said The Sandlot was not a baseball movie.
You called it a coming-of-age movie, and I believe I agreed.
Yes. Okay. This from Andre Hutchins. How did you not even mention The Sandlot movie in your draft? By the way, we mentioned it. And if you've never seen Warrior, stop what you're doing and watch it right now. I still haven't seen Warrior. So I haven't stopped what I was doing. Matt, you are not a Rocky fan if you haven't seen the Creed movies. They are incredible. But okay,
they may be incredible, but they're not Rocky movies.
Oh my gosh, they're Rocky movies. They're totally Rocky movies.
He has defined them as not Rocky movies. He called them the Creed movies.
Oh my gosh.
He said you're no Rocky fan if you haven't seen the latest Rocky movies.
Oh my gosh, you're killing me, Mangum. We're all admitting
they're not even Rocky movies.
Okay, they're totally Rocky movies. Okay, but that's not what we're here to debate. He then went back and forth on Twitter about the coming of age thing versus baseball. 47, he polled his Twitterverse and got 60% of 47 votes said that Sandlot is a coming-of-age movie. 40% said it was a baseball movie. Okay?
Okay.
Then we got called out, well, how can Field of Dreams be a baseball movie and Sandlot not be a baseball movie? Either they are both sports movies or they are both not. This may be worth an instant replay review. Matt, go ahead. Tell me why both of those films have to be sports movies. And then I'm going to tell you how wrong you are. And then we'll decide together who's right.
So the movie Field of Dreams.
Yes, right? I've heard of it. It's my favorite sports movie of all time.
Favorite sports movie of all time. Excellent. So we're on the same page. We are. You've already agreed with my entire. So Field of Dreams is clearly a baseball movie that frames kind of a guy's midlife crisis around baseball. Yeah? Fair enough?
Sure. There are other themes besides baseball in it.
Okay. But without baseball, the story is not told. And I think the same is true with Sandlot. Sandlot frames this coming-of-age story around the role that baseball played in these kids' lives. They're the same thing.
Okay.
They're just told about different points in different important. It was a special time of life, but that's what they both are.
By the way, the midlife crisis is not a special time of life. All right. So.
I wouldn't know, but. So anyway, I feel like they're both in the same category because I feel like they're both doing much the same thing, just in very different ways.
Okay.
So either they're both sports movies or they're both not sports. So they're both like coming of age type films where they're both sports films.
Okay. So I'm going to say you're wrong, and here's my reasoning. Okay. The difference between Field of Dreams and Sandlot is if you take baseball out of Field of Dreams, you don't have a movie. Right? You can't replace it with a different sport. Right? The guy can't be building a football field in his cornfield, right? He can't be playing cricket. He can't be playing soccer. It's intrinsically linked to baseball. The whole James Earl Jones speech about baseball. Field of Dreams is often played on television and by baseball fans watch it before the baseball season starts as a way to get at baseball. Okay. Yes, it also has other themes. Every sports movie has other things going on besides the sports, right? What tips the scales for me with Sandlot is you could replace it with any sport around the world. It could be set in India and they could play cricket. It could be set in Ecuador and they could play soccer. It could be set, pick your country, pick your sport. And it'd be the same movie, which is it's an activity that these kids are doing happens to be baseball, but the movie isn't about baseball. The movie is about these kids growing up. In Field of Dreams, the movie is about baseball and how baseball heals and brings people together. Sandlot is not about that. Sandlot is about these kids growing up. They just happen to be massive baseball fans. And I'm fine. If somebody wants to say it's a sports movie, fine. In the end, maybe I lose this argument because you know, it's got a ton of, you know, baseball in it and they make some really good references and all that stuff. But in the end, it's not about baseball. You take baseball out of Field of Dreams, you don't have a movie, right? It's not a movie. It would be so unrecognizable if you created it around a different sport as opposed to Sandlot, where I think that movie you could say, oh yeah, that's Sandlot, but with cricket. That's Sandlot, but with soccer. That's Sandlot, but with curling in Canada. Okay, maybe I'm stretching a little bit on the curling.
Yeah, I feel like you went a little farther.
Well, what do you think of my counter-argument, Mr. Official?
I think you're splitting – this is all splitting hairs anyway, right? Yes. One of the things I go back to on Field of Dreams is if you – I'm assuming you've read the book.
I have read the book, yes.
Now, if I think about the book – Shoeless Joe, I absolutely understand what you just said. I am 100% on board with what you just said. I don't think you could rewrite – you can't rewrite that book and tell that story and have it not be about baseball. And there's a lot of stuff in that book that's just hard to capture in a movie. I think you'd have an easier time telling the same story with a different sport with the film. I think that you could. It would feel different for you because you don't feel the way you do about cricket as you do about baseball.
I think it'd be different. I don't think you would recognize it the same way you would if you put Sandlot in a different sport. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying.
But you think I'm wrong.
I'm not saying I don't think it's a right wrong thing. I just
you have to. We have to make a call. It's instant replay review. So is Hutchins right? Is you still believe that both of them have to be?
I'm going to go ahead and say they're both. I think they need to be the same, and I'm going to say they're both baseball movies.
All right. Well, Matt has spoken, and I'm going to live by your call because the beef in this case is between me and Hutchins. So you have to be the neutral arbiter.
I don't know. I think I'm going to go ahead and say they're both baseball movies.
All right.
But you know, it's interesting. If you go to the Sandlot, if you look up Sandlot on Wikipedia, it opens up with, "The Sandlot is a 1993 American coming-of-age sports comedy."
I may have or may not have adjusted that Wikipedia entry.
You did not.
I will neither confirm nor deny. I'm totally kidding. I've never touched a Wikipedia page ever. So I didn't do that. I think it is. I think like Andre found out maybe it is, to your point, a sports movie and a baseball movie. But I think it is, unlike Field of Dreams, I think it's probably more recognized as a coming-of-age movie than a baseball movie, right?
Well, and the other thing, too, is this, is that, just in my opinion, and I think that's part of the reason people, we've all kind of disagreed on this one, Field of Dreams is a vastly superior movie to Sandlot.
You're going to get some people upset with that opinion, Mr. Matt.
Well, I think that's part of, like, the whole issue, right? I think if you, like, so that's, for me, it's really easy for me to kind of not get really wrapped up in where we put Sandlot in this game because I don't have an emotional attachment to it.
Yeah, but a lot
you
of
have
people do.
You clearly, listening to you talk about, have an emotional attachment to the movie Field of Dreams.
Oh, it
that
is.
You do not have for the movie Sandlot.
I do like Sandlot a lot, and I do have an emotional attachment, but it's, to your point, it is not at all. This Field of Dreams to me is like, it's like one of my movies. Like, if I'm like lying on my deathbed and you say you got five movies to watch at the end of your life, it's probably one of those movies. Sandlot is not, right? So,
well, just, yeah, think about this. I mean, it Field of Dreams is nominated for 3 Academy Awards.
Yes.
Including Best Picture, right? It's just a better film.
Well, and men and women watch that. I will say Sandlot, you know, a lot of women like it, but there's a lot of women that just, they didn't grow up. It's about boys, right? It's a different deal, right? And Field of Dreams, a lot of people identify with that movie, regardless of how they grew up, right? So I agree with you. It's a better overall movie. All right, Matt, final shout. We got to do this rapid fire here. A couple of questions. One off of Facebook. You can talk to us on Facebook at facebook.com/risingshout. Jeremy Ashton says, I just moved into an office at work. What do you recommend I hang on the wall to display my support of BYU?
The pano shot of the football stadium.
That would be a good one. I say also a Sports Illustrated cover replica of the 1984 National Championship. Also,
or the Detmer Sports Illustrated cover.
Also a good one. All right. Mm-hmm. Katie Everett via email, and you can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. She said, my husband and I finally saw Avengers Endgame on Saturday. We now want to rewatch all of the MCU movies, but can't decide which order to do it in. Do you recommend watching in order of release date or chronological order of events? Release date. That's my reco.
Matt? Definitely release date. Not even a question.
Yeah, I think if you end up watching like Captain Marvel, like if you do, because I've seen people like do this order, right? It's Captain America, First Avenger, then Captain Marvel, right? And then you have some others that are in different order. I just watch them. It's a narrative more than it is a time thing. But I may do it in time order one of these times. AC_Hutchins says, he's been on the show a lot. Best favorite sports podcast, not named the Rise and Shout podcast, hashtag I climbed in. That's not a hashtag, Andre. Not the right one. Matt, do you have a favorite sports podcast, not ours?
There's other sports podcasts.
I wouldn't recommend any of them. No, but seriously, do you have any? Do you still listen to, well, I guess not Mike and Mike, now What's Its Bucket and What's His Bucket?
Yeah, well, I used to listen to Golic and Wingo in the morning driving to work, but I've actually stopped listening to them.
I don't.
Yikes.
I don't listen to any other sports podcasts right now. All the other podcasts I do, I do Freakonomics, the Harvard Business Review, IdeaCast, some writing ones that nobody on this show is going to be interested in. I used to do a lot more sports podcasts, but I did Mike and Mike for a while. I did the Fantasy Focus podcast back in the day when it was Matt Berry why can't I remember his name? The producer that used to be on with him back in the day. That was a daily dose of awesomeness. I
listened to some running podcasts. Runner's World used to do a really good one, but they stopped doing it. There's a Marathon Training Academy that's a little bit dry, but they share a lot of good, useful information. So I listen to I listen to probably 2-3 running podcasts on a fairly regular basis, but nobody, that's a pretty niche thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, Dr. Nick gave us another great question that we're going to shelve for next week about the last couple of years. And it has a little bit to do with, Mr. And we didn't talk about this. I don't care if Jason Buck thinks we should be in a conference. Do you?
No, this is like his annual, like, hey, look at me.
Yeah, I don't care. He's one of the best defensive players in BYU history. I don't care what he thinks. And his reasoning, quite frankly, doesn't pass any test. Everybody knows it'd be more fun to play for a conference championship at the end of the year. And by the way, if you're mediocre in a conference, your November is just as meaningless, except for a rivalry game, right?
Yep, yep.
Ask Kansas, University of Kansas, how meaningful their November is being in the Big 12, right? Meaningless. Nobody cares. So if you're good, it's always meaningful. If you're bad, it's not. And yes, we'd all rather play better teams in November. Thank you, Jason. We all got it, right? And no, going back to the Mountain West is not going to be good, nor does it make us more attractive to a potential P5 team when the time comes. All right. We're done with that. Matt, anything else you'd like to say? This was a packed show. We're at like
an
hour and 5 minutes. So
yeah, that's a lot of information.
That's a lot of information. So, well, anyway, Matt, we're going to next week talk about two things. We're going to talk about these greatest teams, and we're going to do it, Matt. Dante's Circles of Hell.
Oh, geez. Do we got a rubric?
I'm going to send it to you. I've been working on it. I've got my levels. We're not going to do 7. We're going to do 4 because I'm simplified, and I think, I think that piece
Clip
of
notes.
Literature was
I like
much
it.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Clip
gotta,
notes version. I like
bring
it.
Bring it down.
Right
bring
up my down. Alley. Right
yeah,
up my alley.
Yeah, take that miniseries and turn it into one episode. So anyway, I'll send you the rubric, Mr. Fancy Pants, and we'll go from there. And we'll talk about those things next week. And over this summer, we're going to, of the 6 teams we finally land on, the greatest teams.
6-7-ish teams that we're going to need you to help decide for us,
dear
listeners. We're
going to help us decide, dear listeners. We're going to do shows on each of those and try to get some guests to help us discuss them. So anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. If you enjoy the podcast, make sure you subscribe on iTunes or wherever else you get great podcasts. You can, whatever you think about the show, make sure you tweet at us, Facebook at us, email us, and let us know what you're thinking about the show. We really appreciate all of your feedback, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!